नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अथान्यदापि कृष्णस्य थोकाचरितम् अद्भुतम् मानुषं लोकमासाद्य तज्जातम् अनुरुन्धत। Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukadev Goswami to narrate other childhood pastimes exhibited by Krishna while playing as a human child. The Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnates at different times in different planets and universes, and according to the nature of those places, He exhibits His unlimited potency. That a child sitting on the lap of his mother was able to kill the gigantic Putana is extremely wonderful for the inhabitants of this planet. But on other planets, the inhabitants are more advanced, and therefore the pastimes of that the Lord performs there are still more wonderful. Krishna's appearance on this planet, like a human being, makes us more fortunate than the demigods in the higher planets. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was very much interested in hearing about them. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7. Entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, Text 3. The king Parikshit had 7 days to live. For a simple mistake that he committed, he was cursed to die in 7 days. This is taking place 5,000 years ago, when Brahmins and yogis had tremendous power. Today, if somebody were to tell you that I curse you to die in 7 days, you would probably laugh at them. Let us see. But at that time, if a great Brahmin were to curse you in like this, it is 100% guarantee what they say will come true, because they had those powers. Even Sringi, he was just a little child. Parikshit was the most pious, holy man, and a king. He went to the forest, and while he was there, he became very thirsty, incredibly, unbearably thirsty. And he happened to come across the hut of Samigrishi, a great sage. And the sage was sitting in meditation. Samadhi. King Parikshit, he wasn't himself. He was in a bewildered state. Because otherwise, Amanina Manadena, he offered all respects to everyone, especially such a great rishi. But on this day, he said, please give me some water. And the rishi didn't even move because he didn't hear him. So Parikshit became angry. Anger, according to Gita, krodad bhavati samohat, samohat smriti vibrama. When our desires are unfulfilled, we become angry. Jayato vishayan bhongsang sangas te shubachayate. Krishna explains the whole chronological order of how a person becomes degraded. First, we become attracted to the objects of the senses. From that attraction, attachment sets in. When attachment is accelerated through the course of nature, it becomes kama, or lust. When our passionate desires are unfulfilled, krodha, becomes anger. And what is the nature of anger? Anger causes a bewilderment of memory. We forget what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is right, what is wrong. All these things are clouded by this veil of anger. Then we lose our intelligence. We say things, we do things we really don't intend to do at all. And then we fall down into a lamentable, regrettable condition. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, he was a very, very elevated soul. This was below his dignity to become angry at such an offense. Great souls, they can use these human emotions in God's service. Hanuman was as angry as anybody could ever be. When he was jumping from building to building with his tail on fire, setting the entire city of Sri Lanka ablaze, he was angry. When he roared upon Ravana, if you think that I have done harm to your city, wait till Ram comes. Whatever powers I have are only by his grace. When anger is used in the service of the Lord, and we control our anger, then anger has very positive powers. But when anger controls us, we become degraded. Like a parent. Sometimes if a parent does not get angry with the child doesn't take it seriously. If the mother says to a little boy, don't go out on the street when there's traffic, the child will go, and go out on the street. She goes, don't go out on the street. I won't go out on the street. So she's controlling anger for a higher purpose. But when anger controls her, then she can commit great offenses. She becomes more dangerous than the cars in the street. Beats him or something like that. Why did you go in the street? Nothing happened. So Parikshit Maharaj, he was a very self-realized soul, but we understand this was yoga maya. In order to teach the world very priceless lessons, sometimes the Lord uses his very elevated devotees as an example. Yet at Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was beyond bewilderment. But when he was between the two armies and he saw friends and teachers and relatives on both sides, he became totally bewildered. If he wasn't so totally bewildered, there wouldn't be such a dynamic, exciting stage for the Bhagavad Gita to be spoken for all human beings for all time to come. The Bhagavad Gita is the summary study of all the Vedas. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study of the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna wanted to set up a very, very exciting venue for the Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken. So Parikshit Maharaj, apparently he gave in to anger. And when he gives in to, what could he have done? He was the emperor. He could have taken his sword and cut the yogi's head off, and nobody could say anything. He could have sent massive armies. But instead, he just happened to see there was a dead snake. And when, according to custom, when a guest comes to your home, you put a garland on them. What to speak of the king? Could you imagine if Prime Minister Manmohan Singh came to your house? It would be an honor. You would at least give him a garland or some water or something. What to speak of President Obama? Well, they're just little tiny countries. King Parikshit was the emperor of the world. But he didn't receive anything. So with the end of his bow, he picked up the dead snake and put it on the shoulder of the rishi and said, "Here, you're not going to garland me, so I'll garland you." And then he left. The rishi came out of his meditation and saw a snake on his... He just went. If it was a live snake, it would have been very offensive. But a dead snake... You know, people these days, they pay a lot of money to get the skin of a dead snake to put on their shoes or whatever like that. So dead snakes are not harmful. So the little son heard about this, and his pride, even though he was a Brahmin and he had great powers, he was proud, ahankar, he had false ego. This story shows us how dangerous any type of powers are, especially yogic, brahminical powers, unless we have clean hearts. The child had mystical perfections, but he was arrogant, and he couldn't tolerate that his father was humiliated in this way. So he cursed the king to die in 7 days. Maharaj Parikshit received the news. He did not retaliate. Rather, he accepted as God's blessing. Tatenukampam susamikshamano bunjana ivatmakritam vipagvam. Lord Brahma has told us that one who, even in the most difficult circumstances, can see it as the grace of God and accepts it with a grateful heart, that person alone, no one else, is entitled the perfection of liberation. He saw this as an opportunity. Parikshit Maharaj was young. He was at the peak of his life. He had a beautiful family, he had children, a wonderful palace, everything that everyone wants to become attached to, he had it all. And as soon as he heard this, He understood. I made a mistake. This may not have been the proper reaction that I should get, but whatever happens, happens. How can I utilize this situation as an opportunity? Now I can focus 100% of all my energies on my spiritual perfection. Within seconds, he gave his throne to his son, said goodbye to his wife and children and all of his subjects, put on just a kopan, took off of all his royal garb, went to the bank of the river Ganges to fast till death. With one aim, to hear the glories of the Lord. This sincerity, it's spread all over the world, faster than internet. There was no internet in those days, saying that Parikshit Maharaj is going to the Ganga, to Shukadana. He's going to be fasting, and any sages who want to participate can come. Everybody knew. Vashishtha Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Vyasdev, Narada, Parasara Muni, Bhardraj Muni, they all came. Yogis and sages and rishis from all over the universe, they all assembled there. How did they get there so fast? This was the day of real yogis. They didn't have to book a ticket on Indian Railways, stand in line at the station. They just came. They didn't want to miss a second of it. Parikshit Maharaj asked them these questions. He didn't have time to waste. We can study scriptures for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and hardly understand what is the essence. He didn't have time to sit for 12 years and study Sanskrit grammar and then go from the fundamental scriptures to the more elevated scriptures. He only had 7 days. So he asked these questions. What is the essence of all the scriptures? What is the prime duty of all human beings for all times and all circumstances? And what is the foremost duty of a person who is about to die? Srila Prabhupada, he told us that we should be so sincere. Parikshit Maharaj knew for sure he had 7 days. But there is not a person in this entire planet that knows for sure that we even have 7 minutes. Padam padam yadvi padam natesha. And Parikshit Maharaj is showing us this is the type of sincerity that is required to make real spiritual advancement. Shukadev Goswami was selected among all of them to speak. This is quite interesting because at that time, the greatest rishis, yogis, sages, paramhamsas, they were all there. Some of them, like Vashishtha Muni, he was the guru of Ramchandra and Dasarath. So that means ages before he was still around. Narada Muni, he's been traveling from planet to planet, playing his veena and doing kirtan. Narada Muni bhajai veena radhika ramana name from the beginning of creation. Vyasdev, very elder, stately incarnation of the Lord,
who was the compiler of the Vedas. Atri Muni, the father, with his wife Anasuya, of Dattatreya, Durvas Muni, Soma, the incarnations of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. They were very, very powerful people there. And among all of them, they all selected a 16-year-old boy named Shukadev. They considered him the most learned, the most realized, and the most qualified to speak on behalf of all of them. And they all listened in rapt attention. We don't read about any of these sages that were thousands of years old who had avatars as their disciples, that they just walked out and said, you know, I don't want to hear from him. Why him? He's a child. They were all eager to hear because the Krishna Katha, the subjects of Krishna, is so sublime. It is so transcendental that whoever speaks it, it's the greatest pleasure of the heart. Seven days, throughout the day, there wasn't a sound but Shukadev Goswami speaking. Everyone was rapt attention, especially Parikshit Maharaj. And interestingly, he got in this predicament because he was thirsty. It was just a matter of a few hours that he had nothing to drink, and he got angry and disturbed in his mind due to thirst. Now we are at the point in the 10th canto of today's verse. Parikshit Maharaj had already not had food or water or slept for at least 5 days. Yes? Out of 12th canto, 10th is beginning. And he's feeling no fatigue, no thirst, and no hunger. Vishayavani vartante niraharasya dehina rasa varajamarasopyasya param param dristva nivartate. Because he's experiencing this higher taste. The Ganga water of the nectar of Harikatha, the sound of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's teachings, was completely satisfying his body, mind, words, his very soul. He was so satisfied that the hunger and the thirst of the body were not even relevant because the soul was tasting such incredible nectar. And in these verses, Parikshit Maharaj, he's inducing Shukadev Goswami to continue on. And he's doing it in such a way that he's so eager to hear. And we find in these pages, Shukadev Goswami is saying, because you are so eager to hear, I am eager to speak. What a wonderful relationship they have. This is how we protect ourselves from false pride. We give credit to others. When we want credit for ourselves, it simply agitates the mind. When we give credits to others, it satisfies the soul, which is a more fulfilling experience. Parikshit Maharaj is thinking himself, I am just a fallen king who is in this predicament about to die, but by your grace you are speaking such beautiful, beautiful topics about Krishna. And Shukadev Goswami is thinking, I'm just a boy, but because you are so eager to hear, Krishna is using me and as an instrument to speak to you. Your eagerness to hear is empowering me to speak better and better because your eagerness to hear, yeya tamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna tells in the Gita that as we approach the Lord reciprocates accordingly. If we're eager for Krishna, Krishna's eager for us. If we're bored with Krishna, Krishna's bored with us. If we're sitting in the class really eager, in a sense of urgency, I need to hear this, then Krishna will manifest to flood your heart with grace. But if we're just thinking, oh, I'm glad today the class has to end at 9. Otherwise, Swami will go on like he usually does. Let me move my legs and go out and take prasad. If that's what you want, then Krishna will give you some space to move your legs and take prasad, and that's all you'll get. But if we're eager, Krishna reciprocates. Shukadeva Goswami is giving all credit to Parikshit because you are so eager to hear. You have such anticipation. You're so hungry for spiritual knowledge and wisdom and grace. Therefore, you are empowering me to speak. And Parikshit Maharaj is not saying, yes, yes, that is correct. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, because you're speaking so nicely, you're keeping me awake. I don't even need water or food or anything. I'm so excited because of you. So they're both praising Krishna in the other. And Krishna's empowering both of them because of their sincerity. Parikshit Maharaj is exclaiming to Shukadeva Goswami that the words that you are speaking about Krishna's beautiful, beautiful activities are so sweet. They are so satisfying to the heart that they clean the heart. Om apavitra pavitrova sarvabhastam gatospita yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantarasuchi. Whether one is pure or impure, or even having passed through all circumstances of life, if one remembers pavitra, the all-pure, beautiful personality of Godhead, one becomes purified within and without. Krishna's pavitra, he's all pure. Therefore, hearing about Krishna purifies us. It cleans the dirty things of the heart. Selfish, passionate lust, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, illusion. These are the six dirty things that are like dust in the mirror of the mind, where we cannot see the eternal soul when we look through the mirror of the mind. The soul is the seer. The eyes do not see. The eyes are just like a window. No doubt, if the window, we just came from Bhadrasana in Vrindavan, where our Bhaktivedanta hospital doctors, I think they did about 900 cataract surgeries on Brijabasis. And they treated, I think, several thousand. So when you have a cataract, you can't see through the eye. You remove the cataract, you could see. There was this one old lady, was so beautiful. She was about 90 years old. She was probably about less than 5 feet tall, maybe 4'8". She was a tiny little old lady. Very not heavy at all. She was just like a little stick. And her her skin was shriveled up in such an incredible way. She really looked old. She looked like she was probably around when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And she was just wearing rags, and she had a big old nose ring. And she was telling us in the Brijabasi language, she was saying how her husband was dead, all of her children were dead. She said someone took away her house and all her property. She had nothing and no one. And she had two cataracts. And she said, I've come here so grateful that all of you are going to take this cataract away. She said, my only prayer in life to Radharani, I don't want anything else. Everything has been taken away from me. The only thing I want is to be able to see through one eye so that I could make rotis for Radharani. That's my only desire in life. So she could make some bread rotis and offer them to Radha and Krishna. And she was so happy that they were about to take that cataract eye so that she could see to make roti. Suddenly, she was so happy, she started leading all the ladies in kirtans. She started singing songs and dancing. She was dancing all over the place. Because soon she would have the vision to make some bread for Radharani. I was thinking, she was really youthful and wealthy. That inner wealth of the desire to serve is true wealth. So the eye is a window. The Atma is seeing through the eye. If you don't have eyes, it doesn't mean you're dead. It means you can't see. So the Atma is seeing through the eyes, hearing through the ears, tasting through the tongue, thinking through the brain. That's the true self. And Parikshit Maharaj, he's explaining here that the mind is like a mirror. And when you look in a mirror, you're supposed to see yourself. But when the mirror is covered with dust and dirt and all sorts of pollution, all you see is the dust and dirt. Cheto darpanam arjanam. The purpose of spirituality, the purpose of religion, the purpose of yoga, the purpose of life is to clean the mirror of the mind so that we can see our true self. Prema pumartha mahan. And what is the nature of the self? To see everything as the property of Krishna or God. And to realize the ecstatic love for Krishna that is within all of us. To be an instrument of that love in everything we do, wherever we go. And Parikshit Maharaj is explaining his own realization. And the realization, which is the conclusion of all the great scriptures and sages, that simply by hearing and chanting the names and the glories of the Lord, it cleanses the mirror of the mind and gives us that higher taste of love, love for God. And Parikshit Maharaj is especially excited to hear about the little baby child pastimes of Krishna, because they are so sweet. They have such deep philosophical import, such unlimited wisdom, but they're presented in such a pleasing way. the absolute truth, the all-powerful Lord of all existence. Mahavishnu, who is just an expansion of expansion of expansion of the Supreme Lord, simply by his exhalation, the entire cosmic manifestation is created. Simply by his inhalation, everything in this creation is destroyed. So powerful. We read in so many scriptures about the power of God. Here is that same full-fledged God, beyond all his power, is the power of his sweetness, the power of his beauty, and the power of his love. This is Vrindavan, where the Aishwarya, the powers of the strength, and the powers of the Lord to create, maintain, destroy, punish, reward, they go completely in the background when little baby Krishna smiles. That power has the power to conquer a person's heart and awaken ecstatic, intimate love. That power causes us to become totally detached from selfishness, ego, and all of the other greeds of the conditioned mind. Therefore, it's the greatest power. Madhurya Dham, the power of God's sweetness. And when he's a little baby, that's all he shows. We are going to read in the next chapter of little baby Krishna. It's just a tiny little baby. And his mother, Yashoda, is holding him on her lap. And he's so light. According to the Upanishads, he's heavier than the heaviest, lighter than the lightest, whatever he wants to be. He's just a little baby. And she's thinking, he's my son. If she thinks that he's God, then she can't love him in the same way. When Krishna cries for her milk, if she thinks he's God, she'll think, you are Atmarama, you are the absolute truth, you are God. You don't need my milk. And if I give you my milk, it's just a ritual. Yes, just like when we do puja to Krishna. Krishna doesn't need it. We understand he's God. We do it for our purification, we give it. He doesn't need it. But in the higher levels of bhakti, we understand Krishna does, by his own sweet will, he needs it. He takes the role of needing it just to accept our love. See? So here, Yashoda Mai, her love for Krishna, she has already realized he's the absolute truth. But he's charmed her in such a way that that's completely in the background. Now he's just my little loving son. And she goes to give him milk, and she's looking at his beautiful little baby face. And little Krishna yawns. And his little mouth is about this big when he yawns. He just yawns. And Yashoda Mai just happens to see inside his mouth. She sees the sun and the moon and all the planets in the universe and all the oceans, all the mountains, all the living entities in his mouth. How is that possible? It is not possible. But that's why he's Bhagavan. If Bhagavan had to do everything in a way that was possible for us, what's the use of being Bhagavan? Achintya Shakti, he has inconceivable potencies. Krishna can put Mount Everest in your mouth. And he doesn't reduce Mount Everest in size, and he doesn't increase your mouth in size. If you can figure that one out, you can't figure it out. It's inconceivable. But if we understand that the absolute truth is Swaraj, he's independent, can do anything, any way, the controller of all controllers. Tumi sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Nandanat. Brajendra Kumar. So he opens his little mouth, and she's not just seeing Mount Everest, she's seeing Mount Sumeru, which makes Mount Everest look like a grain of sand. She's seeing all the planets, the entire cosmic manifestation in his little mouth. And instead of thinking he must be God, by the Yogamaya potency, just the Lord, by his own sweet will, to keep her motherly affection, she was thinking, the whole universe is in his mouth. He might get sick. Just like a mother. If you see things in your child's mouth, you don't think, oh, how wonderful. I think that my child might get sick. Look at all these planets in his mouth. What's happening? She was bewildered. This is Krishna. And when he was only 2-3 days old, Putana, this Kethari, she was such a demonic personality. She came to murder him. She had the strength of thousands of powerful warriors. She was a mystic yogini. She could expand her size to be 12 miles. Or she could change her form to be the most beautiful, lovely woman. And she came in that form just to kill Krishna. And Krishna, she put that deadly poison on her breast and gave it to Krishna to suck. And Krishna sucked it. And then he squeezed her. He went, tch. You've seen the fingers of little 2-day-year-old children? I see them all the time because they're always being kind of like that. Wherever I go with children, I try to see, you know, what did Krishna's fingers look like when I was. They're so tiny. It's like this. They look like if you breathe on them, they're going to break. That was Krishna's fingers. But yet he squeezed. And he squeezed and sucked her very life out from her. And he's crawling around as if he doesn't even know how to walk. Parikshit Maharaj is listening to these beautiful, beautiful pastimes. How pleasing. How Krishna could present such incredible histories, wisdom, philosophy in the package of these extraordinary activities of a little baby child. It's all attractive. It's so charming to the heart. When you hear the pastimes of baby Krishna, there's no question of fear of God. All that can come out of you is love for God. Yes. If you're really a demon, you might fear him. But so sweet, so childlike, enchants the heart. So Parikshit Maharaj, he's telling us through his own realization of hearing these beautiful stories that just by hearing these beautiful enchanting stories of Bhagavan, the absolute truth, the controller of all controllers, taking the form of a little baby, such a playful baby, performing such incredible, miraculous activities, so beautiful, so sweet. It conquers the mind, it conquers the heart, it conquers all of our anger and envy and lust and arrogance and greed, and awakens our love. So please, Shukadev Goswami, continue speaking. Tell me more. What happened next? Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. We are hearing the same stories. Why are we not becoming enlightened to the same degree as Parikshit? Because Parikshit was so eager to hear. He was so enthusiastic to serve the Lord by hearing about him. And to the degree we have that enthusiasm, we have that eagerness, we have that faith, to that degree, the process of cleaning our heart and awakening our love takes place. Even if we have hardly any enthusiasm, just by regularly hearing Nashta Prayeshu Padreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya, little by little that enthusiasm will grow. But we have free will. The example is given, if you're hungry, you can digest food very nicely. If you're not hungry, you can eat, but you don't digest very well. Just like if you eat a big feast, and then someone comes and tells you, I have a feast for you. You'll just go, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. Well, just out of courtesy, take something. So sometimes in India especially, out of courtesy, you have to eat so much. So just not to make them feel bad, you're eating and you're... because there's not much power to digest. But if you're hungry, you could digest practically anything. So similarly, when we have hunger, enthusiasm to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the names of the Lord, then the message, the grace, is digested and deeply nourishes the soul. So we learn from Parikshit Maharaj the importance of enthusiasm and gratitude. Here he is, just a couple days away from sure death, and he's totally grateful. He would not trade his position for anyone else in the world. If somebody came up to him and said, you know, come over here and I'll give you 100 years of life for this last 2 days to hear about Krishna, the doors to eternity are opening for him. So these are two essential qualities for spiritual advancement: enthusiasm and gratitude. Is there any questions? Yes. Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu is our Parikshit Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you are speaking about Parikshit Maharaj. As we know it, that Parikshit Maharaj was very young enough and he could spend all the 7 days with thorough attention and thorough commitment without taking sleep, without eating, without drinking. Well, we don't have that eagerness of that level. So we have to go on yearning for all the years that is there in our Krishna consciousness. And we have to show our thorough sincerity to the best of our level and show, prove to Krishna that we really need that hearing and chanting. That's the only process for our purification. But after spending more and more years in devotional life, the bodily inconvenience also starts giving problems. Your ankle is paining, your hearing problem, your ear is also not giving so much support. Your mind also, the grasping power also goes on reducing. So a fear comes in our heart that my eagerness, the bodily inconveniences are increasing, but my eagerness should not go down. If that goes down, then I might miss the bus of devotional life. So the years are going to be there. It is not for me only 7 days that is going to get me finish my business. I have to do this thing sincerity for the whole lifetime. And the bodily inconveniences also increasing. So how to see to it that those bodily inconveniences also doesn't disturb us and the commitment of hearing and chanting remains completely fixed up to the last breath of our life.
By Krishna's grace, it is now 9 o'clock. Which means, by destiny's will, you can move your ankles and you can eat prasad. But that eagerness comes when we associate with people who are eager. According to the choices we make, Krishna empowers us. Even if we don't have eagerness, if we show eagerness, Krishna will take that desire seriously. You may feel like just staying in bed, but the Srimad Bhagavatam Katha class is going on, so I'm going to get up, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to be eager. I may not feel eager, but I'm being eager. That's called tapasya. That's not artificial. It's artificial if you pretend to be eager because you want people to adore you as an eager person. Just see this man. He is so spiritually advanced. He comes every day. He listens. He sits with his back erect. If your idea is to try to get some fame or some prestige from doing it, that's artificial. But if you do the same thing because you want to please the Lord, that's tapasya. That's devotion. So if we just do our part, somebody asks Srila Prabhupada, what if I don't feel enthusiastic? Srila Prabhupada said, you just act enthusiastic for Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna will gradually empower you with the true enthusiasm. These gifts come by the grace of God. So if we act with eagerness for Krishna's pleasure, and we associate with people who have that eagerness, then gradually that awakens our own eagerness. And it is now 9:04. Today we do have a deadline because there's a marriage and these people are very eager to get married. So we should not be an impediment to that. The brahmacharis are laughing very nicely. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.